the shiur. You know, I'm here before the shiur for a few hours. After the shiur, I'm always available. And if you want to make an appointment with me, sometimes I'm a little bit pressured. I can't answer your questions during shiur. I apologize for that. I just have to get to a certain point, and that's what I'm doing. All right. So maybe we'll just close the door so we'll get a little more peace and quiet here. By the way, Sochim from the beginning of the Masechta, that's 8:30 on Wednesday. It's not Nogea to our Shia. We'll be continuing with Hanukkah, Mirtz Hashem. But it's relevant to the 8:30 Shia.
More stars.
Okay. I have two items on my agenda for today right up front. I'm pretty sure I have a third one, but it's just in the back of my mind, so I'm not going to mention that to you. We started a very interesting sugya, which connects Hanukkah. That means it connects the sugya on Daf Chav Beis Amid Beis and Chav Gimel Amid Aleph with the sugya of Shabbos, specifically Ner Shabbos, on Chav Hei Amid Beis. So a very interesting overlap of these two sugyas. And what we're going to start with, moving a little bit backwards, so to speak, is Chav Hei Amid Beis. So let's turn to Chav Hei Amid Beis. Thank you. On Chav Hei Amid Beis, we have the sugya of Ner Shabbos, and the Gemara establishes that Ner Shabbos, Hadlokas Ner Shabbos, Chova. And Tosfos analyzes the word Chova here with regard to Ner Shabbos in two different ways. In one way, comparing it to Mayim Achronim Chova, which is the Gemara in Chulin, the word Chova indicates that we don't make a bracha on Ner Shabbos. And had the Gemara meant to convey the message that Ner Shabbos requires a bracha, it wouldn't have said Adlokas Ner B'Shabbos Chova, it would have said Adlokas Ner Shabbos Mitzvah. The word mitzvah is exclusively dedicated for a mitzvah that deserves a bracha, because Kol HaMitzvos Kulon Mevarech Aleihen. But since the Gemara deliberately left out the word mitzvah and instead employed the word Chova, it meant to transmit the message that on Ner Shabbos there is no bracha. Why would Ner Shabbos not have a bracha? Tosfos quotes Yesh Sherotzim Lomar. You know, it's kind of like a Yesh Omrin. And you'll see this on the fifth line of Tosfos Dibra Maschil Chova on Daf Chav Hei Amid Beis. Sixth line down. Yesha Rotzim Lom De'ein Levarech Adlokas Ner. We don't make a bracha on Ner Shabbos. And at this point in the presentation, there's no explanation that's offered for the logical conclusion. Again, there's a literal explanation, meaning in the literary text of the Gemara, we understand that it's a little bit odd that the Gemara used the word chova instead of mitzvah, but that's a proof on a textual level. On a conceptual level, oddly enough, the Yesh Omrim, we call them, which in the language of Tosfos, Yesh Rotzim Lomar, we call them the Yesh Omrim, do not offer a logic, but Rabbeinu Tam, who rejects the Yesh Omrim, offers their logic. In other words, Rabbeinu Tam is going to he's the advocate representing the Yesh Mefarshim, but he's going to argue against them. So he says the following, that what is their argument? Heim Omrim Tam, you'll skip a few lines, and he says, She'ein levarach mishum shim haisa mudlekes viomedes, Lo hayat sarach lechabosa velachzar uladlika velo lahadlik acheres. So again, Rabbeinu Tam, in the name of the Yesh Omrim, is presenting the following logical, compelling reason why there's no bracha on Ner Shabbos. Again, Rabbeinu Tam himself is going to reject this opinion, but he's offering an analysis of this opinion. What led this opinion to maintain that there's no bracha on Adlokas Ner Shabbos? And he says the following. that in the case of Ner Shabbos, I'm not obligated to light a Ner Shabbos. In fact, let's say I have a Ner that he calls Mudlekes V'Omedes. Let's say he lit it this morning, Friday morning, he lit it a week ago, he lit it a day ago, whatever he lit it. It was not designated as a Ner Shabbos, but it continues to light and it gives us illumination. Is there any requirement to extinguish that candle and light it again? In the case of Ner Chanukah, let's say I lit a Ner Chanukah early in the day, or it was yesterday's Ner Chanukah Nashoshos, which has enough oil to last for 25 hours. So in that case, the Gemara establishes, back on Daf of Gimel, that you have to extinguish that light and rekindle it as a Chanukah candle. That's because Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah. However, as far as Ner Shabbos is concerned, there is no principle called Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah. The Taz points this out in Shulchan Aruch, Reish Samach Gimel, because he says that in the case of Shabbos, we don't have an equation to the Beis HaMikdash. And what generates the halacha of Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah? Rashi says, Kedashkechan B'Mikdash. In the case of Ner Shabbos, we don't have this Kedashkechan B'Mikdash. Ner Shabbos is in no way related to the menorah in the Mikdash. And therefore, we drop the ball on Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah. And all we have to do is see to it that there's an Ner Dolk. And if that Ner Dolk was not lit for the sake of Shabbos, that's irrelevant. And if that be the case, how could you establish a bracha on a mitzvah that has no requirement? Meaning, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to lift up your finger at all to fulfill this mitzvah. You have to have it there that's lit. You know, let's take, for example, in our context, contemporary life, we have electricity. So you have electricity in your house. Well, why would you have to do anything? According to the Eish Mefarshim, in fact, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to shut out the lights and put them on again because there's no mitzvah hadlaka. If there's no mitzvah hadlaka, then there's no bracha. So now Rabbeinu Tam argues against this. This is the last thing that we mentioned yesterday, for those who were with me yesterday, that Rabbeinu Tam establishes an analogy to Kisui Adam. And Allah in Chulin, in regards to Kisui Adam, is that if the blood was covered by the wind, then you don't have to bother with this dam. You don't have to uncover it in order to cover it again. You're only chayiv in this mitzvah if the wind didn't come to cover, to push the earth onto the dam and cover it. And in that case, you're obligated to light it. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, we have a perfect analogy. Just like if you had a nair, and the Ner happened to be there, and it wasn't a Ner Shabbos. As long as it's there at the time of Hadlaka, entering into Shabbos, you fulfilled your mitzvah. There's no need to actively change the situation and put it out and rekindle it. So too, in the case of Kisui Adam, if the natural forces of the universe cover the Dam, you don't have to uncover it in order to do the Maisa. Says Rabbeinu Tam, let's check it out. If we have an analogy between these two cases, now we have a litmus test to determine whether such a mitzvah deserves a bracha. Meaning again, if you're totally passive because the earth covered the dam, obviously you don't make a bracha. But what happens if you didn't luck out? So, or maybe you did luck out, right? So you have an opportunity of covering the dam because the wind did not cover the dam. So now, do you make a bracha or not? And the Gemara says that there's a bracha on Kisui Adam. If we extrapolate from that Gemara of Kisui Adam to the case that's analogous in Ner Shabbos, namely where there was no Ner before Shabbos, so now you have to actively light the Ner, you're going to make a bracha on the Ner. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam comes to the conclusion that there is a bracha on Ner Shabbos, just like there's a bracha on Kisui Adam. Interesting, and we'll get back to Rabbeinu Tam's analogy to Kisui Adam in just a minute, but what's interesting is the end of Tosfos. At the end of Tosfos, he says, V'od nira l'Rabbeinu Tam. Here, at this point, even Rabbeinu Tam himself reverses his original position. Let me explain. In Rabbeinu Tam's original position, if you have a ner that was dolek, and it was not a ner Shabbos, you don't have to put it out Shabbos when Shabbos enters and rekindle it. The only time you're obligated to light a Ner Shabbos is if you don't have a Ner. That's Rabbeinu Tam's original position. He only disagrees with the Yesh Mefarshim on one point, and that is whether or not, in a case where he doesn't have a Ner, and now he has to light a Ner for the sake of Shabbos, does he make a bracha or not? Now Rabbeinu Tam repeals his original position. If he had a ner that was not lit for Shabbos, sarach lechavos velachzor lahadlik. And we're going to see how Rabbeinu Tam proves this, but his final position is that hadlaka osa mitzvah even with regard to ner Shabbos. So again, what's surrounding us, so to speak, from all sides? You know, we're getting hit by a lot of different things over here. First of all, in terms of Rabbeinu Tam's ultimate position, his final position, that you have to be madlik a ner Shabbos, and that means that even if you have a ner and it's dolek, you have to put it out and rekindle it. So we're going to ask two questions on that. Question number one is the Taz's question. The Taz, if he would hear, would ask, why is that so? Why do you have to extinguish the candle and relight the candle? After all, hadlakos the mitzvah is only appropriate in two contexts. Number one, in Ner Shavim Mikdash, and number two, by analogy, in Ner Chanukah. But Ner Shabbos is not on the list. So why should we assume hadlakos the mitzvah, you have to put it out and rekindle it? Secondly, why did Rabbeinu Tam change his mind? Apparently, originally he felt very comfortable to assume that, just like in the case of the dam, that the ruach forced the wind, forced the earth to cover the dam. You're not obligated to uncover the dam. So too, if you have a ner Shabbos, which was not lit as a ner Shabbos, but now it's a ner going into Shabbos, then you don't have to put it out and rekindle it. You already have it, like the case we already have the dam mechusna. So why? What compelled Rabbeinu Tam to change his original position? Even in his original position, he insists that when there's no Ner Shabbos and you have to light a Ner Shabbos, you make a bracha. So what? Fos artir, as we say, what bothers Rabbeinu Tam? So for this, we have to read the last two lines in Tosfos. And here, Tosfos quotes a Gemara. This is the last Gemara that I'm going to learn with my 8:30 class, because this is the last Gemara in the sugya of Chanukah and Shabbos on Daf Chav Gimel. And the Gemara tells us, Hahu Saba, an elderly statesman, he was probably a great scholar, and he said that with regard to Ner Chanukah, he told his wife, be very careful, Bilvad Shelo Yakdim uBilvad Shelo Ya'acher. And if any of you were here a couple of weeks ago when we discussed the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah in terms of the Zman HaMitzvah, we made a big deal about this Gemara, because it seems that Lo Yakdim, that he shouldn't light the Ner Chanukah too early. And that's based on a principle called Traga Betira Mai Mahani. Okay, but I don't mean to confuse you, just leave that out. Now, as we're going to soon see, and this is the research of the Magid Mishnah on the Rambam, there are two Shitos and Rishonim as to how to understand this Gemara of Ahu Saba, who says, Ubavad Shalo Yakti. One approach has it that he's referring to Ner Shabbos. That's Rabbeinu Tam's approach here. The other approach is that of the Rambam. The Rambam is going to codify this halacha of Lo Yakti in Hilchas Chanukah, because it's halacha in Chanukah. However, let's understand the Gemara according to Rabbeinu Tam. Ubavad Shalo Yakti, says Rabbeinu Tam. What does that mean? He lit the candle too early? Who cares? In Rabbeinu Tam's original formulation and his understanding, that's wonderful. For my part, says Rabbeinu Tam, in his original position, you can light the candle on Tu B'Shvat. If it can last until, Tu B'Shvat is not going to help me, because Tu B'Shvat might be Erev Shabbos. I don't know. You have to check the calendar. But what I meant to say is you can light it on a Sunday. And if it lasts until Shabbos, that's good enough. Rabbeinu Tam does not require you to put out the candle and relight it. So what's the deal? What's the big deal about Lo Yakdim? Says Rabbeinu Tam, you see from Lo Yakdim that what we're worried about is that you won't fulfill the mitzvah, because if you light too early, then you haven't fulfilled hadlakos of mitzvah, because that hadlaka that you lit too early could not possibly qualify as hadlaka shel Shabbos. It's too early. And who knows if you're going to put it out and rekindle it. But in any event, if let's say you're looking at your clock and it's getting close to Shabbos, so you decide, you know what, now's the time to light an Ner Shabbos. So the halacha is, and that's what the Ahu Saba warns us, make sure you're not lighting too early. If you're lighting too early, then it's not connected to Shabbos, and without that tzir of the Shabbos, it's not an Ner Shabbos, and you haven't fulfilled your mitzvah. So that's called Lo Yakdim. All that is good according to Tosfos, because Tosfos, Rabbi Nitam, understood that the sugya of Lo Yachdim, which again is tucked away in the sugya of Chanukah, by the way, on Daf Chav Gimel, is addressing Ner Shabbos. So if it's addressing Ner Shabbos, Rabbi Nitam is faced with a real problem. Who cares about Shema Yachdim? Let's say, for example, the earliest time you could light Ner Shabbos this time of the year probably is around 3 o'clock. I'm just throwing out a number. So we're telling you, be careful not to light the Ner Shabbos at 2:59, because it's too early. What difference does it make? He doesn't have to put out the candle, even if it's not a Ner Shabbos. There's no mitzvah adlaka. The mitzvah is to guarantee that you have a Ner Dolah. So what's this Lo Yachdim? Why are you getting all angst, all nervous about the clock and trying to figure out, oh, when is the earliest time I could light? What difference does it make whether you light at 2:59 or 3:01? In all the cases, you have an Ner Dolah.
Maybe you won't light at all.
It comes along with Rabbeinu Tam. He says, no. You know why they're telling you not to light at 2:59? Because with that candle that you light at 2:59, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah. Because the mitzvah is hadlaka of an Ner Shabbos. And if the earliest time to make hadlaka of an Ner Shabbos is 3 o'clock, don't light at 2:59. And not only that, if you lit at 2:59, it's pusel and treif. All you're going to have to do is start from scratch. You're going to have to put it out and start again. Why? Says Rabbi Nitam, I have no choice. At this point, I have to introduce the principle of hadlaka osa mitzvah. So Rabbi Nitam now basically summarizes for us, because again, he's the one who brought us to the Eish Mefarshim, to the Eish Omrim, three different shitas in Ner Shabbos. The first sheet in Ner Shabbos is that Ner Shabbos is not a mitzvah at all. It doesn't even require bracha. It's called a chova and not a mitzvah. It's like Mayim Achronim. And what it means is make sure that there's a Ner that's lit so that it illuminates your house for Shabbos. And that doesn't require a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah of adlaka. It's not a mitzvah at all. And it doesn't even deserve a bracha. The second approach is Rabbeinu Tam's original opinion. Ner Shabbos is a mitzvah and it requires a bracha. Under what circumstances are you obligated to this mitzvah? If you have no Ner, there's no light, it's pure dark, then you have a chiyuv to light a Ner Shabbos. If you have a Ner Doluk, then it's exactly the same as Kisi Adam if Kiso HaRuach, and just don't get involved. You know, you're a non, what do they call it, non-involvement policy. Stand on the sidelines. That's okay. There's no machayev. There's no mitzvah. But if you have no Ner Doluk, now you're obligated in the mitzvah of Chanukah and you have to set up a Ner Doluk. On that, says Rabbeinu Tam, you make a mitzvah, you make a bracha. Has Rabbeinu Tam know that on a Ner Doluk you make a mitzvah, you make a bracha? Maybe we should say that the entire adlaka process is only a hechsher mitzvah. It's a preparatory stage. How do I know that that requires a bracha? And Rabbi Tam says, "Klach lecha etzel kisi adam." You have to equate it to kisi adam. Just like in kisi adam, all you need is dam mechusa, and in dam mechusa, it's enough if the ruach covers it, and that's it. You end it. Ball game over. You have no other responsibilities and no other obligations. But nevertheless, the Gemara establishes that if there is no ruach to be machas of the dam, and the dam is revealed, then you're obligated to be machas of the dam with a bracha. So even if I have a mitzvah, which is kidugmas ner doluk, and in the case of dam, it's dam mechusa, which means that I'm not chayev if it's mechusa, or in ner Shabbos, I'm not chayev if it's doluk. Nevertheless, if it's not mechusa, if it's not doluk, I need to recite a bracha, because under these circumstances, Chazal established a chiyuv in the case of dam, of kisui, in the case of ner, a maisad loka, and on that I make a bracha. Then we get to Rabbeinu Tam's third approach, which is his final conclusion, lo yachdim. If you light a candle too early, that's not a fulfillment of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not ner doluk, but it's got to be a maisad loka. Even if you have a ner doluk, it's not going to be good. The ner doluk is not good. Make sure that you implement a maisad loka bismana when it's time to light the Ner Chanukah. So the Ner Shabbos. Now all this is predicated on Rabbeinu, this whole final position of Rabbeinu Tam is predicated on the reading that the Halus Saba was addressing not Ner Chanukah but Ner Shabbos, and he was very careful to tell you, forget about a Ner Mibaod Yom Gadol, you know, a Ner before the Zmano, Lo Yachtin, because that Ner is not going to help you one iota for the mitzvah and the obligation of Ner Shabbos. You're going to have to put it out and start again. If, on the other hand, I go with the Rambam's approach, the Rambam holds, as we'll soon see inside, that this halacha of Hahu Saba Lo Yachtim is halacha in Chanukah. The Rambam nowhere quotes this in Hilcha Shabbos with regard to Ner Shabbos. Completely omits it from Hilcha Shabbos. He understood that the Milvad Shalo Yachtim was addressing the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And Ner Chanukah requires a Zman of Hadlaka, and this is too early, so don't even dream of lighting it too early. Now, from the Rambam's perspective, we're really free now to go back to the original position of Rabbeinu Tam, and perhaps even to go back to the position of the Yesh Omrim. But then we're going to have to check what does the Rambam say about a bracha, obviously. So we'll leave that out. We're going to come to that soon. But let's right now be very naive. We don't know what the Rambam says about a bracha. What would the Rambam say about a case where you have a Ner that was Doluk, it was not lit for the sake of Shabbos, or it's too early? Again, the Rambam is not compelled to say Ubelvad Shalo Yachtim, he doesn't have Lo Yachtim is Halach in Hilchus Chanukah, it's nothing to do with Hilchus Shabbos. So as far as Ner Shabbos is concerned, Yachtim be Yachtim, there's a reason like Dibla Mitzvahs. You know, wake up on Friday morning, and the first thing you do after you go to the mikveh is you light a Ner Shabbos. Make sure there's enough oil in it to last until nightfall. And maybe the Rambam would say in that case, just like the Yesh Mefarshim, you fulfilled your mitzvah, you have a Ner Dolok. And we're going to see in this piece of Torah from Rabbi Bezalel Zsolti, which we started yesterday, and I want to just finish it up this morning, this afternoon, and that is that the Rambam gives a whole new definition of Ner Chanukah, of Ner Shabbos. If you read the Rambam carefully, the Rambam seems to say that the mitzvah is that you have an Ner Shabbos, not that you create an Ner Shabbos. And therefore, there is no mitzvah of creating an Ner Shabbos. And you would not have to put out a candle that was lit too early and rekindle it, because there's no such chiyuv. And if that be the case, the Rambam might actually be this anonymous antagonist here in Tosis, the Yesh Mefarshim. Except we have to check out about the bracha. Now, here's my question to you: what would the Yesh Mefarshim say about Rabbeinu Tam's analogy to Kisi Adam? Again, let's go over it one more time. Rabbeinu Tam is yelling at the Yesh Mefarshim and saying, how can you tell me that you don't make a bracha on Ner Shabbos? In the case of Kisi Adam, you make a bracha on Kisi Adam. So he didn't tell me, well, in Ner Shabbos there's a potential, there's a possibility that he had a Ner that was Doluk, Mibodjom, and he doesn't have to do anything. Well, there's a parallel case in Kisi Adam. If the Ruach covers the Dam, he doesn't have to do anything. And for Des Vegan, notwithstanding that, in a case where there was no Kisi Adam Al Yedei Ruach, he makes a bracha on Kisi Adam. In an event that there's no Ner Dolut, then he should make a bracha on Adlokas Ner Shabbos.
What's the deal with Kisi Adam if the wind then blows it off again?
Then he'd have to again be Madlik. Yes. It'd be Machasik. Afilu mei apam v'yachas. It's kind of like the Gemara in Bava Metzia about an Aveda. You know, if the animal keeps coming back to you, you got to return it. You know, the animal, it depends what you fed the animal. You know what I mean? Let's say you find someone's loose grizzly bear. Okay? If you've ever been to the western part of Canada, you know what I'm talking about. Grizzly bears, right? So you fed it blueberries. Grizzly bears thrive on blueberries. They say the average grizzly bear eats 250,000 bushels a day of blueberries. 250,000 pounds. Okay. Look it up. See if I'm right. In any event, they consume a lot of blueberries. So you found your friend's loose grizzly bear. Again, if you found the grizzly bear, if I were you, I wouldn't return it. I would run to the other place. But anyway, you're a big tzaddik. So you started feeding it blueberries. So you returned it to its owner, and it comes back. Because a grizzly bear will always come back to the place where we found blueberries. So it's very dangerous to feed
a grizzly bear blueberries. So the Gemara says, "Afilu mea pon v'achas." If you return someone's sheep and the sheep runs back to you because you fed the sheep, you still have to return it again and again and again. Hashem teshivim afilu mea pon v'achas. So here too, in kisi adam, if the ruach covers the dam and now it becomes again revealed, that's going to be machayev you the mitzvah of kisi adam. So Rabosai, what's the answer to Rabbeinu Tam's kasha? Why would the Yesh Mefarshim be unimpressed by the analogy between Kisi Adam and Ner Shabbos? This is the last thing I was yelling and screaming and ranting about at the end of the shiur, but nobody was listening. I guess you were busy davening mincha.
Because there's no chiyuv.
Can you say it a little better? I mean, you're being very short-winded.
Without blood, which is goloi,
excellent.
There's no chiyuv of Kisi.
Correct. In other words, what we're saying is that the chiyuv of Kisi Adam emerges, the machayev, when there's damagula. If there's no damagula, there's no machayev. So now ask yourself the question, I have damagula, I have a chiyuv of Kisi Adam, should I make a bracha on it? So you tell me, well, if it had been covered by the ruach, I would not have to do a thing. Yeah, I would not have to do a thing, because there's no chiyuv and there's no mitzvah, there's no damagula. However, in the case of Shabbos, I have a chiyuv to supply a ner Shabbos. Now, I could have gotten lucky and there's already an air there. Okay, so that's a different way of fulfilling the mitzvah. You could fulfill this mitzvah in one of two ways, either actively or passively. You could either accept the status quo as is, there's an ner doluk, or if you can't accept the status quo because there's no ner doluk, then you have to light a ner. The truth is that the mitzvah is obligatory in both cases. It's not that I'm not chayiv in the mitzvah because I have a ner doluk. If I have a ner doluk, that itself is my fulfillment to the mitzvah. Again, how does that express itself actively? It might not express itself actively, ki hu zeh. I mean, if you want to say balavatish, you could say maybe he has to guarantee that nobody puts out the candle and that it's protected from the winds, or he has to make sure there's enough oil in it to last until he eats his Suda Shabbos. Ichveis, I don't know. But nevertheless, ask yourself the question, do you have a mitzvah of Ner Shabbos? Yes, I do. How do I have a mitzvah of Ner Shabbos? Because it's an Ner Doluk. How did I get to Ner Doluk? In one of two ways. Either I lit a Ner this morning, or somebody else lit a Ner, or I lit a Ner now, right before Shabbos. In any event, I have a Ner Doluk, and that gives me the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos.
Except if you're not home, you don't have a kiyuv on
Right, I'm talking about a case where he's home. I mean, please, I figured that was understood. If he's out in the wilderness, you know, there's no mitzvah of ner shabbos. But when there is a mitzvah, I don't know. You know, I'm not sure if you make a bracha, you don't make a bracha. Don't prove anything from kisi adam. The bracha kisi adam is because whenever I'm chayiv in the mitzvah, I have to actively do a ma'aseh kisu. When am I chayiv in the mitzvah? The condition that generates the mitzvah is when I'm down the gula. In the case of Ner Shabbos, I'm always chayiv in Ner Shabbos. When should I make a bracha? When I actively have to produce a Ner Shabbos. Correct? Or, alternatively, maybe I should never make a bracha on Ner Shabbos, because the very fact that I'm not always obligated in actively setting it means that the definition of the mitzvah is not adlaka, but rather Ner Doluk. And on a Ner Doluk, I don't make a bracha. Okay, now we want to study the Rambam Shita. So again, if you have this photocopy, it would say on it, Mishnas Yavis, and it should have two pages, one on the right and one on the left. If you don't have it, I seem to have run out of copies, although I'm sure I had some extra copies here. But
I took
right
the
now.
Extra one yesterday.
Okay, I think I still have some more copies, but go find them. All right. Now, what you want to look at is a paragraph that starts with the word Harei, which is the second paragraph in this presentation. And in this paragraph, he quotes the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Shabbos, Siman Reish Tamak Gimel, on the fifth line of that paragraph. And the Shulchan Aruch says, quote, unquote, Lo Yachtim Lemaher Lahadlik. In other words, he took the Gemara in Chav Gimel of Hahu Sama Ubilvad Shalo Yachtim, and he applied it to Hilchas Shabbos. We're going to soon see that the Rambam completely omits this in Hilchas Shabbos. But according to the Shulchan Aruch, this halach of lo yaktim applies to Shabbos, because if you're going to light the Shabbos candle too early, oyvei, you didn't fulfill your mitzvah. Again, you can still salvage it, you know, it's not the end of the world, but don't fool yourself into thinking that bi'od hayom gadol, when the sun is, you know, still at its zenith, you're going to light an Er Shabbos. That's not so. And therefore, he goes on to say that the earliest time you can light an Er Shabbos is from Plagab Mincha. Fine. The Rambam adds the following comment. And this you'll see about five lines lower down on the page. The imayon ner doluk mibod yom gadol, if he violated this principle and he lit his Shabbos candle too early when it can't become a Shabbos candle, yechabenu the yachzor yadlikenu litzorach Shabbos, he's got to put it out and rekindle it. So we see clearly that the Ramah is posketing like Rabbeinu Tam's conclusion, namely that there's a mitzvah of a ma'isad loka, and even if you already have a ner doluk, if that ner was not a hadlaka of an Er Shabbos, then you have to put it out and rekindle it in order to generate a hadlaka of an Er Shabbos. So the Taz points out that he doesn't understand this entire halacha, which again we saw in Rabbeinu Tam Lamaskada, now we're seeing it in the Ramah codified halacha, that you have to put out the candle and rekindle it, that namely in Shabbos it's hadlakos and mitzvah. Why should that be so? In Bishleim, I understand the Ner Chanukah hadlakos and mitzvah because of the equation to what? To menorah, to Beis HaMikdash, but in the case of Ner Shabbos, we don't have any compelling reason to say hadlokos of mitzvah, that you need a mais hadloka. And if you're lucky and you happen to have a Ner, again, it's a Ner from Odiyam Gadol, but you inherited this Ner, then guess what? You don't have any obligation of hadloka, because the separate obligation of hadloka can only be derived from Beis HaMikdash if there's an equation between hadloka and Beis HaMikdash. But that equation we know and we recognize in Chanukah, but not in Shabbos. Now, at the end of this paragraph, about five lines up, he says the following: that Tosus himself, meaning Rabbeinu Tam Lamaskana, quoted this price of a B'vad Shalo Yaktiv, and it means that you have to be very careful because the candle that you lit Mibodo Yom Gadol could not possibly serve to fulfill the obligation of Ner Shabbos. He says, Mizem Mashma, and this is probably what the Taz is asking, Sha mitzvah ain't a raksha yelo ner dolik b'shabbos, ela mitzvah hi had loka atzma litzorch Shabbos. Ulefizem muchach, the gamben er shal Shabbos had lokos a mitzvah. So it means that the final position of Rabbeinu Tam, which now we see codified in the Rambam, reflects the opinion of hadlokos mitzvah. The only problem is, as the Taz points out, hadlokos mitzvah is a principle that applies to Chanukah. Who says it should apply to Ner Shabbos? And Rashi tells us the only reason that we're compelled to apply the principle of hadlokos mitzvah in Chanukah is because of the equation to Beis HaMikdash. But in Shabbos, where there is no equation, why should we assume hadlokos mitzvah, which is the maskada of Rabbeinu Tam, and it's also codified by the Ramah? The good news is, on the next column, that the Rambam doesn't bring this halacha of B'vad Shlo Yaktim in Hilchas Shabbos. It's completely omitted from Hilchas Shabbos. You want to find it? You'll find it, but not in Hilchas Shabbos, in Perek Dalet of Hilchas Chanukah. Ein madlikin neros Chanukah kodem shetishka chama, ela im shkiyosa, lo ma'achrim v'lo makdimim. Look at those two words in the Rambam. The Rambam says about ner Chanukah v'lo makdimim. Says the Magid Mishnah, there are two ways of interpreting this brisa of Ubilvad Shalo Yaktim, of Ein Lahaktim. The Rambam, who's called Rabbeinu in the language of the Magid Mishnah, he understood that Velo Makdimim is a reference to Ner Chanukah, which means that in the case of Ner Chanukah, because of the mitzvah of Hadlaka, you're not allowed to light it before the Zman. However, the Meiri himself quotes another commentary of the Rishonim, who says that the Brice is talking about an Ner Shel Shabbos, not Ner Shel Chanukah. And in fact, that's the way Rabbeinu Tam understood this halacha of Ein Lahatim. It's halacha in Ner Shabbos. Oh, what do we gain from the Rambam? If the Rambam omitted this warning in the Gemara of Vavad Shel Yachtim from Hilchas Shabbos, then it means that Hilchas Shabbos, I couldn't care less when you light the Ner Shabbos. I mean, the burden of proof is on you. We're innocent until proven guilty. We're not guilty until you can show me in the Rambam that the Rambam would maintain that you're not allowed to light a candle too early on Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos. The Rambam nowhere expresses that view, that you can't, don't think of lighting an Erev Shabbos early. Why not? The answer has to be that the Rambam never bought in to this svara of Adlokos and Mitzvah. And the Taz, as I said, would be elated if this is true, and this is really the Rambam's position. This is amazing, because there's no reason, according to the Taz, to apply Adlokos and Mitzvah with regard to Ner Shabbos. And therefore, what we're left with in Ner Shabbos is just make sure there's an Ner there, but that's all you have to do. The only problem is that we can't go too far with this, because if we accept this definition and we take it as far as the Yesh Mefarshim, we're going to come to the conclusion that the Rambam doesn't require a bracha. And the Rambam, in fact, says that you do have to make a bracha. However, take a look at the Rambam's language in defining the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. And this you'll see in the second paragraph on the left column, Dibra Maskel Vasher. And the Rambam writes that the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos is, quote unquote, Sheyielo Ner Dolek B'Shabbos. It would probably be worth our while to see the Rambam inside. You have a Rambam Zmanim?
I do.
Can you open up, if you don't mind, John, to Perek Hei Milcha Shabbos Halacha Aleph? And we're going to read from the Rambam his definition, the Rambam's definition of Ner Shabbos.
What is Rambam holding the bracha? Is it Birchas HaMitzvah, Birchas HaShem?
Well, this whole article is to try to justify why the Rambam has a bracha on Ner Shabbos. So let's give Rav Zsolti a chance to try to develop an idea here, because I'll tell you, at this point, Rav Zsolti has no clue as to why the Rambam justifies a bracha on Ner Shabbos, if the whole mitzvah of Ner Shabbos is just to make sure that there's some Ner Dolo. Do you have it, John?
Hey, Aleph?
Yeah, let me borrow it from you. I'll give it right back.
Of course.
He says the following. He says, Hadlokas Ner Shabbos ain't a reshus. Don't think that I don't have to worry about a Ner Shabbos, like the case of Mayim Achronim. Don't think in Ratzel and Madlik and Low Ratzel ain't a Madlik. No, that's all wrong. We have to make sure, Lirdof Achra, we have to make sure to guarantee there'll be a Ner. But then when he gets to the definition, he says the following. He writes, Chova Echad Anoshim Echad Noshim Chayovim, listen carefully, Lios Bibateyam Ner Dolek B'Shabbos. The Rambam doesn't use the word Lahadlik. And this is fascinating, because we've already had this diuk before, and now we're seeing it again, that instead of saying Lahadlik, he says Lios Bibayis Ner Dolek. Interesting, no?
Where,
if you put...
When around Bab, where?
No. No, Halacha Aleph in Perek Hei, Perek HaMishni. You want to pass this on?
Perek Hei.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's more chiyuv on bias than it is on...
Yeah, the yeah, exactly. That there should be... That the bias should be equipped with a ner dolo. And therefore there should be no... There should be no adlokos of mitzvah coin to the Rambam. And again, the Rambam doesn't address the question of what happens if you have a ner gadol. But sometimes we could apply the principle of Lava to Shvehei. Whereas the Shulchan Aruch understood Lo Yakdim, because if that be the case, you don't have Adlaka. The Rambam omits Lo Yakdim in Hilchas Shabbos. He brought it down in Hilchas Chanukah. So if Zsolti wants to suggest that the Rambam was very compelled to interpret Lo Yakdim as referring to Ner Chanukah rather than Ner Shabbos, because in Ner Shabbos there is no justification for Lo Yakdim. The whole mitzvah Sheyir Lo Bibayis a Ner Dolek. Who cares when in heaven he lights the Ner Shabbos? Let it be the, you know, the Motzi Shabbos. Motzi Shabbos, he's already thinking, you know, like Beis Shammai, you know, setting aside his good meat for next Shabbos, right? So he's already lighting a Ner Shabbos. How long the Ner is going to last? A week. You can have such a thing, right?
7-day candles.
Right, the 7-day candles. Yesterday I spoke in the OU about a different kind of seventh day something. And you can't go into the houses of worship. But that's not relevant to us now. So you have a seven-day candle. So the Rambam would advocate, great idea, seven-day candle. Why not get Ner Shabbos out of your head already on Motzei Shabbos? So you don't have the responsibility, because Ner Shabbos, sometimes, you know, those pressured times. I don't know if you have this experience, but, you know, during the winter mela, but in the summertime, you know, you get an extra 5 hours. Instead of like, to light at 4, you light at 9, you know, at 8. Like, why is it the same tension? I never figured that out. I don't know. Maybe you don't have the same experience that I have. I don't know.
Probably older.
Yeah. So therefore, there are two indications that the Rambam would satisfy the definition of Ner Shabbos in the mindset of the Taz, that it's not adlokos of mitzvah. But now we get to the problem of the bracha, because in the Yesh Mefarshim, there was no bracha on Ner Shabbos, because it's only that you have to guarantee that there's an Ner Dol. But then, if you recall, there was the first position of Rabbeinu Tam. Mm-hmm. And the first original position of Rabbeinu Tam is that if you have an Ner Dol, you're not obligated in the midst of Ner Chanukah. Oh, I'm sorry, of Ner Shabbos. But if you don't have an Ner Dolok, then you make a bracha on it. So that middle of the road shita, which is Rabbeinu Tam's original position, would seem to be a very fine, that compromise position would be a very fine shita for the Rambam. But here he says something on the very bottom of the page. He says the following, that the purpose and the goal of a Ner Shabbos in the Rambam's frame of reference is Oneg Shabbos. Oneg Shabbos means to eat a meal on Shabbos. And if that be the case, you can't eat a good meal in the dark, because, you know, you have to see your food. So that the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos is now an introduction to Oneg Shabbos. And that fits in very well with the Rambam's language. The only problem is that if that be the case, then all you need is an Ner Dolok. Why would the Rambam require a mitzvah for the sake of Oneg Shabbos, when the real mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos means later on, when he gets to sit down and eat the meal, that's already an hour or two into Shabbos, at that point he's enjoying the Ner Shabbos. That's when he gets the kiyum of Ner Shabbos. Why would he make a bracha 2 hours earlier on Erev Shabbos when there's no obligation of adlaka? And if you take a look at the very end of page 1, and then we'll go on to page 2. Page 1 is actually Reish Lamed, I think. Oh, it's Reish Lamed Omid Beis. So he says, Tzarech Iyun. Tosis quotes the Yeshua Rotzim Lomar, and here we're going on to the next page, Reish Lamed Aleph, that Eim Tzarech Levarech. There's no bracha, Eino Varech Adlaka as Ner. And the proof of the pudding is, says Rabbeinu Tam, in the name of the Yesh Mefarshim, because you don't have to put out a candle that was lit mibod yom. And if that be the case, then the Rambam seems to paskin like that Yesh Mefarshim, and it's all about an Ner Dolok, and if you have an Ner Dolok mibod yom, you don't have to put it out. The Rambam never says lo yachdim. Why then does the Rambam require a bracha? The Yesh Mefarshim were trying to establish that there's no bracha on Ner Shabbos. So if you look at this top paragraph on the page and you count up about 5 lines from the bottom, you'll see he says, "Halo Rambam posak beperkei milcha Shabbos halacha aleph." That's the Rambam we just read. "Dimavarech al adlokas Ner Shabbos." Now that does not seem to reflect the Yesh Omrim, because the Yesh Omrim says "Lo levarech on Ner Shabbos." Okay, now the paragraph that starts Vehine, he attacks the proof and the analogy of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam has this equation to Kisi Adnam. And if you take a look about 5 lines down in the paragraph Ulam, 6 lines down, he says, L'chora zelo dami klal l'kisi Adnam. There is no fair equation to Kisi Adam. Sharei b'Kisi Adam b'shosh shemachase hu mekayimus ha-mitzvah. There definitely is a mitzvah. That's not necessarily true in the case of Ner Shabbos. V'ha'im kisa ruach t'patur. That's because ein lo dam l'chasos. U'ma shekisa ruach ein b'zeh mitzvah shel Kisi Adam. So when the dam is Megula, then he's obligated in Kisui. But and that requires a bracha, but that doesn't tell me anything. So that luck is nothing more than a preparatory stage to set up a ner dolok. In Ken Kiyama Mitzvah Lobishoshimadakas Haner, it's not inherent in the Maisad Loka, Elamashi Yeshlo Ner Bishabis. And the Yeshlo Ner Bishabis is in a special embellishment and fulfillment of the Mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, as we said before. So therefore, it would seem that you can maintain the position of the Yesh Omrim without being disturbed by Kisi Adam. So in the case of Shabbos, we're talking about Ner Dolok. On a Ner Dolok, we don't make a bracha. And even if you have to create that Ner Dolok, but the act of creating the Ner Dolok is not a mitzvah in the classical sense, it's just making sure to guarantee that you have a Ner Dolok. Mashenkin, in the case of Kisi Adam, if the Dam is Megula, then you're obligated in Kisi Adam. And you have to actively do the Kisi, and on that you make a bracha. Asher Al Kain, I'm now about 5 lines up from the bottom of this paragraph. He says, "Shapir kosvu ayesh omrim she'ein levarcha lokas ner shabbos sharei b'shav shemadlik mivod yom ein kiyum mitzvah." He can't say that when he's lighting early in the day, that's a kiyum mitzvah, because the kiyum mitzvah is the oneg, and the oneg is only during Shabbos itself. So at the moment of the kiyum mitzvah, he has a ner doluk and he's ready to eat his suda. It's not shaykh to be mivarch lahadlik at that point. So it makes sense that we drop the bracha. Again, that's not going to help us for the Rambam, because the Rambam says that we do in fact make a bracha, and that seems to undermine this whole approach of the Yesh Mefarshim, that if it's only an Er Doluk, then really there is no mitzvah. Maybe there's a mitzvah that you Mekayim when you eat your Seuda hours later and you're illuminated by the Ner, but at that point we're not going to make a bracha. He adds here, by the way, on the top left, a quote from one of the Mefarshim. I'm not sure who he's quoting here right now, but he says, "Kishem," at the end of this paragraph in Nirashe, "Al Ikar Seuda Shabbos Lo Tiknu Bracha." He's raising an interesting question. Why don't we make a bracha on Seuda Shabbos? Sort of it's also Tzimano Lechol Seuda Shabbos. So for whatever reason, whatever the answer to that question is, we don't know. Is Kach Lo Tiknu Bracha Al Ner Shel Shabbos? According to the Yesh Mefarshim, there won't be any bracha on Ner Shabbos. Why? Because the Yesh Mefarshim understand that the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos is only to set up the Oneg Shabbos of the Suda. And just like the Suda itself doesn't get a bracha, so too Ner Shabbos doesn't get a bracha. So what do we do with the Shitas Haram? By the way, he actually researches this, and he comes up with a couple of Rishonim who paskin like the Yesh Mefarshim, which is pretty wild. For example, in the paragraph Ella, he quotes the Mordechai. In the paragraph Yod, he quotes the Mordechai. And the Mordechai quotes Rabbeinu Meshulam. Rabbeinu Meshulam lo haya mevarech al adlokas haner.
Anytime.
Ner Shabbos, I need to say. Anytime. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as a bracha on Ner Shabbos. And the reason for Rabbeinu Meshulam is because this is not what you call the Gemar Mitzvah. The Gemar Mitzvah is the Suda Shabbos, which is illuminated by the Ner that you lit on Erev Shabbos, but that Ner, at the time of its lighting, was not a Mitzvah Sadlaka. It was just a preparatory stage to accomplish an Onik Shabbos of a Suda with light. So at best, I could call the lighting on Erev Shabbos some sort of a Hechsher Mitzvah, but you don't make a Brach on a Hechsher Mitzvah. So now we want to know, again, if we're all on the same page, we're on the paragraph in Nira at the bottom of this page, and we want to try to figure out why the Rambam went that one step further, which again is Rabbeinu Tam's original position, that even though the mitzvah is ner dolok, nevertheless you make a bracha. So he says the following. For this we have to fast forward, if John you don't mind doing this, to Perek Lamed of Hilchas Shabbos. My Rebbe used to say a lot of Torah on this one single halach in the Rambam, but we're not interested in anything else except for one line in this parak. Now, in order to appreciate what Rav Zolti is trying to accomplish here, we take Perek Lamed Halacha Aleph, and then we fast forward to Perek Aleph. Perek Lamed Halacha Hey, and we put it all together in one neat package. In Perek Lamed, he starts the Perek the Rambam in Halacha Aleph by telling us that there's such a thing as a mitzvah midivrei sofrim, and that mitzvah midivrei sofrim is kibud v'oneg. So we have zachar v'shamar as mitzvos d'oraisa on Shabbos. I hope I'm not breaking this. Maybe I am. Okay. So we have on Shabbos we have d'oraisas, right? And then we have what's called midivrei kabbalah. And those are two mitzvos which we derive from Yeshayahu HaNavi. And the Rambam says that these mitzvos, which are called kibud and oneg, how do you fulfill them? So the Rambam goes on to tell you in Halacha Hey that you have to do a great deal of preparation for Shabbos. And the Rambam tells you that all this preparation has to take place mibaod yom, meaning before Shabbos. So, for example, the Rambam says Misadar Shulchano b'erev Shabbos, and Tzorach L'saken Beso. He's got to wash the floors, and he's got to organize the house, and all this, says the Rambam, Ibnei Kvod HaShabbos. And again, this is Mivod Yom. This is before Shabbos enters. The Rambam goes on to say that included in these preparations for Kvod Shabbos is Yeh Ner Dolok. Shulchan Aruch Lechel Mita Mutzas Kol Eilu L'Kvod Shabbos. So the Ner Doluk Mibod Yom is a kiyum of Kvod Shabbos. Now this is really strange, because the Rambam in Perek Hey that we started with says that the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos is Oneg Shabbos. Now Oneg Shabbos means at the moment that he eats his seudah. On the other hand, in Perek Lamed, the Rambam says the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos is on Erev Shabbos, Vod Yom Gadol. For Kvod Shabbos. So let's call a spade a spade. Is the mitzvah Adlokas Neros Oneg Shabbos, which means you fulfill it later on, hours later when you eat your seudah, or is the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos? And that has to be fulfilled before you enter into Shabbos. The whole idea of Shabbos is to go out and be makabel the Shabbos. So the answer is Tzvei Dinim, that the Rambam is not contradicting himself, but rather Rambam wants to classify Ner Shabbos under two different categories and two different kiyumim. There's one kiyum of Ner Shabbos which is codified in Perek Hey, and that's the kiyum of Oneg Shabbos. Then there's another kiyum of Ner Shabbos which is codified by the Rambam in Perek Lamed, and that's going to be the mitzvah of Kvod Shabbos. Now, he doesn't quote the Brisker Rav, but this Torah is very, very famous in the name of the Brisker Rav. Okay, maybe he didn't know about the Brisker Rav, or maybe it does appear here and I didn't see it. I don't know. In any event, he quotes a Yerushalmi that clearly demonstrates where the Rambam was coming from. The Yerushalmi is the explicit source to the Rambam in Perek Lamed, that Hadlokas Haner is Kvod Shabbos. Is Memela, the Rambam has a very secure basis or source for classifying and defining Ner Shabbos as Kvod Shabbos. Now take a look at the paragraph on the bottom right, Vinira. Oh, maybe you don't have this page. Ah, okay, it's just a few lines. So this is page Reish Lamed Aleph, Lamed Beis. And he says, V'nira mavur b'Rambam v'tarti isnu b'ner shel Shabbos. There are two kiyumim in ner shel Shabbos. Chado, sh'ner Shabbos v'b'chlal oneg Shabbos. V'yisod dino hu ner dolek b'Shabbos. V'od, sh'hu, meaning the mitzvah of ner Shabbos, is b'chlal kvod Shabbos. And he wants to claim here that the Rambam in kvod Shabbos requires a ma'isad loka. Keep in mind that all the different activities that the Rambam has enumerated in Perek Lamed of doing this and doing that, setting up the shulchan and then washing his clothing and everything should be, all that is an active way of being mechabed the Shabbos. So now I have to actively light the candle. Again, that doesn't seem to be indicated so well in the Rambam's Lashon. Let's just read the Rambam's Lashon again. He says v'tzorch l'saken beso, and then he says v'yir ner dol. I don't know, according to Rav Zolti, he should have said the Yadlika Sunday. Okay, that, you know, the Shtickle Torah doesn't stand or fall on that. But what it means is that he has another imperative and another motivation to light the Ner Shabbos, and that is Lichvod Shabbos. And he says that there's a basic nafkamina between the two. If the Rambam Perkei is classifying Ner Shabbos as Onik Shabbos, then the Kiyum of Ner Shabbos is later on at the time that he's Misanik B'Shabbos. But if it's a preparation for accepting the Shabbos Queen, meaning it's Kavod Shabbos, then the time for that mitzvah and the clinching of the Kiyum of mitzvah would be on Erev Shabbos. Now again, I don't know what the din of Kavsa, whether it's Zakuk La or ain't Zakuk La, but in a theoretical sense, I would say that whether Kavsa Zakuk La or ain't Zakuk La would depend upon these two kiyumim. If the kiyum is going to be owning Shabbos, then Kavsa Zakuk La. Why? Because I have to guarantee, again, it's all if he wasn't a couple Shabbos yet, obviously, but I have to guarantee that I'll have a Ner Doluk at the time of my owning Shabbos. If on the other hand it's Kavod Shabbos, then maybe if I did this action of lighting the candle, Lichvod Shabbos, it went out, okay. I didn't put it out, it went out. I don't have to rekindle it. I may have to rekindle it anyway because of the mitzvah of owning Shabbos, but I don't know if I have Kavsa Zakuk La B'Torah's Kavod Shabbos. Or maybe Kavod Shabbos is at that very split second that Shabbos enters. I have a Ner which I lit for the sake of Shabbos. Now the queen of Shabbos, so to speak, enters, and at that moment, look, I have an Ner Doluk. So maybe comes the Zakuk La, even from the perspective of Kavod. But now we get to the punchline of this whole shiur. Why does the Rambam require bracha in Ner Shabbos? The Yesh Mefarshim dropped the ball on the bracha, because they hold that if it's the mitzvah of Ner Doluk, Sheyilo Ner Doluk Bebeso, then that mitzvah doesn't require bracha. And if you happen to have a Ner Doluk and you didn't light it for Shabbos, you're yotze the mitzvah. So there's no bracha. The Rambam on the other hand seems to, on the one hand, accept the Yesh Mefarshim, and all you need is Sheyelo Bebeso Ner Doluk. But on the other hand, the Rambam insists that you make a bracha. He says the following. This on the top left column, he says that Amnam Ikra Bracha B'Ner Shal Chanukah Maisad Lokal Lichvod Shabbos. If we've defined the Kavod Shabbos of Erev Shabbos as a Maisad Loka, then that deserves a Bracha. And Nimsa Shab Bracha Yal Mitzvah Sheyesh Ba'asiyosa Gemar Melocha Gemar Meleches Mitzvah. I think he's holding now Kavsa Ein Zakuk La, meaning that as far as Kavod Shabbos is concerned, the very split second that you light the Shabbos candles, you fulfill the mitzvah. And that's called Asiyosa Gemar Mitzvosa. So I don't. From that perspective of Kavod Shabbos, I don't have to enter into Shabbos with a Ner Doluk. All I needed was a Mice of Kavod, and the Mice of Kavod was the Mice Adloka, and that's called the Gemara Mitzvah. Is a Hotiknu Nusach HaBrach La'adik Ner Shal Shabbos. On this mitzvah, they established a bracha of Lahadlik. Wait a minute, the next three words, just give me 1 second. I'm sorry, my eyes. Velo Lichvod. Just 1 second. Ve'hodet kinu. Just, I'm sorry. I understand. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
No, maybe these lines answer my question. The Rambam lists a whole bunch of things one's supposed to do for Kavod Shabbos. To pick out only one of them to make a bracha, and not all the other ones. I know how to make a bracha when I set my table, but yet that's another thing to do with Kavod Shabbos.
So he's asking a slightly different question. Let's see if his answer to his question will help you.
For your mind, because
I'm not sure. I think it won't. Honestly. Okay. But let's just take a stab at it. He's asking a slightly different question. He's saying if what justifies the bracha on Ner Shabbos is Kavod Shabbos, then the Nusach HaBracha should be Asher Kitzonit Zosom V'Tzivoro on Kavod Shabbos. L'Chavidus HaShabbos. So let's see if his answer will help you. I don't know. I don't think it will. But let's just give it an open. He says the answer why the Nusach is not L'Chavod Shabbos is because you would make a mistake and you would think that the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos exhausts itself in Kavod Shabbos. But the Rambam wants to tell you that don't make a mistake here. This mitzvah applies not just to Ner Shabbos, not just to Kavod Shabbos, but also to Onik Shabbos. Let me see if that's what he's saying over here. He says, V'hadit kiru es nusach ha-brocha la'adlik Ner Shal Shabbos v'lo lichvod Shabbos haynu lashmienu ha-gufe she-mitzvah Ner Shabbos hu lorak ma'isa hadloka lichvod Shabbos Aval yeshalav chiyuv nosaf, another chiyuv, b'shabbos atzma, on Shabbos itself, leishev li'or haner, which is called or oneg Shabbos. U'kahad yomar abay, oh. So in other words, let's say, for example, you are eating a suda. You have to set up your suda near, meaning in close proximity, to the Ner Shabbos. And why is that? Because then the Ner Shabbos becomes a kiyuv of Oneg Shabbos. So let's say, for example, you're in a mood for a romantic dinner with your wife on Leil Shabbos, and you don't want to benefit from the Ner Shabbos. No, you have to benefit from the Ner Shabbos. And the Rambam Mitoch Lava Toshmehein tells me this chiddush by leaving out the words covered Shabbos. Now Yechiel is asking a different question, which I don't think is going to help us. Why should we hone in out of an entire list of activities, the mechlol, you know, the aggregate compilation of everything is covered Shabbos? Why do we hone in on one particular action and we say, let's make a brach on that? I don't think he's addressing that question. Maybe in the rest of the article he does it. I don't know. I only got to the end of this paragraph. He says, "Vasher al kain tiknu es nusach abroch ladik ner shel Shabbos lo lechvod Shabbos lafuki me'abayel karov diom ad lokas ner Shabbos chova klomar chova hu sheyisod b'mokam aner." Now this is machlokas later on in the Gemara between Abayi and Rava. Abayi says you don't have to eat your meal to the ner, and Rava is going to require. Varambam kasav the perkei mil for Shabbos lafiyut chova lov leishev liar aner. Now it's the Rambam codified Rava. I am kiyum mitzvah shel ner Shabbos, and how does he fulfill the mitzvah? It's not enough that he was mechabe the Shabbos on erev Shabbos; he needs the oneg Shabbos by sitting and eating his meal to the light of the ner Shabbos. So, Rabosa, I'm going to ask you a question, which I'm afraid throws a monkey wrench into this whole discussion. Let's just review, and then I'll ask my question. In Perek Hey, Meal for Shabbos, the Rambam establishes the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos as part of Oneg Shabbos. In Perek Lamed, the Rambam establishes the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos as part of Kavod Shabbos. And we pointed out the differences, that with regard to Oneg Shabbos, you're just trying to create on Erev Shabbos, trying to create a Ner Dolov, so that when you eat your meal, it'll be illuminated by the Ner Dolov. In Perek Lamed, the Rambam wants to advocate and mandate a Maisa Hadlaka for the sake of Kavod Shabbos. So let me ask you a question. Let's see if we're thinking with the same thinking caps. Where, in which Perek, you know, the Rambam is very sensitive to Mikum, as we call it, to where he brings down Allah. Where would you guess the Rambam is going to tell you have to make a bracha on Ner Shabbos? In Perek Hay or in Perek Lamed?
It says in both.
In Perek Lamed, it shouldn't be in Perek Hay.
But he puts it in both places, doesn't he?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Let's read the Rambam in Perek Lamed.
Perek Lamed doesn't say anything.
Right. But that's not my point. My point is that the Rambam, I think, should have deliberately omitted the bracha in Perek Hay. Because the Rambam in Perek Hay is talking about owning Shabbos. He's talking about eating your meal to the light of the Shabbos candle. The Rambam wants to tell us, guarantee yourself that there will be some light. And that's called a ner dolk. Shiyah, but based on the Rambam's language, is a ner dolk. He doesn't go out. He doesn't tell us that you have to light a ner Chanukah, a ner Shabbos. Sorry. And therefore, we had this whole discussion about, you know, why the Rambam has a bracha at all, and we came to the conclusion that Eino Chinami. The Rambam would have omitted the bracha, just like the Yesh Omrim do, and just like we saw in the name of Rabbeinu Meshulam, if not for a chiddush that he's going to reveal to us in Perek Lamed, that within the context, the matrix of all the actions that he does, L'Kovet Shabbos on Erev Shabbos, he also has to have a Ner Dolok. Now, if that Ner Dolok of Perek Lamed, which generates a Maisad look, if that's what justifies the Bracha, then it seems to me, in my puny understanding, that the Rambam should have deliberately omitted the Bracha in Perek Hay, in order to teach us that as far as owning Shabbos is concerned, there would be no justification for a bracha. It's a ner dolci of the besa. And Faker, when he gets the Perek Lamed, he should say, well, make a bracha. And here Yefiel's question really stands out as well, because the Rambam in Perek Lamed is not going to have a bracha. He's not going to have a bracha on Sidrat Shulchan. He's not going to have a bracha on Nikri Abgadim and setting up the bayis, because there is no one single action that you could identify that requires a bracha. If the Rambam says in Perek Hey that you have to have a bracha on Ner Shabbos, that's because of the Rambam in Oneg Shabbos, not because of the Rambam in Kivud Shabbos. So that's what I feel is the one disturbing monkey wrench in this whole shtickle Torah, because the way I was trained to read the Rambam is very sensitive about where he formulates. Now again, if you want to be laid back, I might just say, what the heck, the Rambam just wants to tell you to make a bracha on Ner Shabbos. So he's in Perek Hey, he's talking about Ner Shabbos, so he throws in the bracha. But it's really not accurate. Because from the perspective of Perek Hey, which is dedicated to owning Shabbos and eating your meal, there is no bracha on there.
But if you're eating with it, you're benefiting from it, and maybe on account of the benefit, you have some gratitude to. But
see, maybe like works for Mafreya kind of.
But we have the problem of Haskalah's mitzvah, Hetzer mitzvah, which you don't make brachas on, because the mitzvah doesn't come until an hour or 2 hours later. So.
So what Phil is suggesting, I don't know if you could apply Mafreya here, is that Enochinami, what I lit on Erev Shabbos could be considered a mitzvah if at the end of the day I get some Onik Shabbos out of it. So it's like a conditional kind of mitzvah. That's certainly not the way the Mishnah Seyavitz presents it. He presents it as the mitzvah is to eat the Suda to the Ner. And in fact, the Rambam would have held like the Yesh Mefarshim if he only had Onik Shabbos, because there's no mitzvah at Laka. The mitzvah is to make sure that you have an Ner Dolok.
But you're using the Ner.
Again, you're using the Ner on Shabbos, and his whole point was, just like we don't make a bracha on Suda Shabbos, we don't make a bracha on Ner Shabbos, right? Because Suda Shabbos is not a mitzvah that generates a bracha.
What would the Rambam say about if I had my Ner Dolok from Wednesday or Thursday, I'm about to blow it out and light it again without a bracha?
For Kol Shabbos. Absolutely. We've actually changed the whole perspective. Now, this would lead us to the what I call the Maskana of Rabbeinu Tam, right? Remember, we had in the Tosfos, we had three different shitas. And Rabbeinu Tam's final conclusion was that Hadlokos a mitzvah in Ner Shabbos. The Rambam says Sheyielo Ner Dolok, so that doesn't sound at all similar to Ner to Mais Hadlokos. So you have to add that Lashon the Rambam is appropriate for Perek Hey, where the Rambam is describing the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos, and you have to guarantee that you have an Ner Dolok, and you would not have to put it out and rekindle. But if you're talking from the perspective of Perek Lamed, then we want to actively be mechabi the Shabbos, we should actively light the Ner, and if we had a Ner from Wednesday, we should put it out and rekindle it, or find yourself another Ner.
So I don't think there's any getting around the fact that Rambam uses a Lashon Yir
Ner Dolok. Very difficult.
And
in other words, it's in a sense they're pulling the wool over our eyes. What do I mean? There's a pitui here, there's a seduction. It's very seductive, because the framework, the structure on a conceptual level, is absolutely stunning. The Rambam does establish Ner Shabbos in two different places. One in Perek Hey in the context of Oneg, the other in Perek Lamed in the context of Kavod. The Rambam clearly indicates that the Kiyum in Perek Hey is Toli Besuda, and here it's on Erev Shabbos. So it's clear that the Rambam has two definitions and two dimensions of Ner Shabbos. That's very seductive. But to say, therefore, that there are two definitions in Ner, meaning, as far as the Ner of Perek Hey of Onik Shabbos, that's a Ner Doluk. But as far as the Ner, truth is that let's say that the Chiddush here of Rav Zsolti is made up of two component parts. One part, I don't think we could argue with. The Rambam's language clearly indicates in Perek Hey that the mitzvah is Ner Doluk. And that, again, as I say, if the Taz was here, he would clap and get very excited about it. The second half, because he gets stuck with the bracha, because there's no bracha on an Ner Dolok, that comes up in Perek Lamed when he's talking about Kavod Shabbos. Here, the Rambam's language clearly doesn't resonate for a number of reasons. First of all, he never singled out Ner Shabbos. If Ner Shabbos gets a bracha because of its special role, it's the Av Malacha of Kavod Shabbos, then the Rambam should have given it meal on lights. The Rambam has a whole list, And almost as an afterthought, he mentions, you know, the Ner Shabbos. Number two, the Rambam should have gone out of his way to point out that the reason why we're going to make the bracha is because this is a Maisa Adlaka. You know, again, there's a certain element of pitu here, because I would assume that anything on that list of the Rambam should involve an action. You know, you want to be machabed someone, you want to welcome the Shabbos, then you want to do it actively. But the pellets that the Rambam used were ner dol, so we're going to have to somehow obfuscate that. What I would look at is the shidin neschos in the Frankel.
I was thinking the same thing. Maybe
because maybe by chance, you know, you'll find some old Yemenite version of the Rambam that changes those words. But let's assume for the time being, I think it's a very healthy assumption, that the Rambam says ner dol. So here are the problems. Number one, the Rambam doesn't isolate the Adlaka Saner as a special, unique, you know, action of Kavod Shabbos. He has a whole list of actions, and he should have, you know, this should have been up front, you know, set the stage, because this is going to generate a bracha. None of the others generate a bracha. There's no bracha shekinshana, it's also mitzvah l'sadar shulchana. Question number two is, why doesn't the Rambam omit the bracha from Perek Hey? And it would have been more appropriate to codify the bracha in Perek Lamed, because that's the only mitzvah that would generate a bracha and justify a bracha. And number three, why doesn't the Rambam somehow indicate that the mitzvah here is a maisad bracha? Instead, he calls it a ner dol. So those are some of the arguments against the shtickle tor. But as I say, the first half of the shtickle tor, I think we should accept with open arms. That the Rambam holds that Ner Shabbos is Sheyielo Ner Dolik Mebesa. And even though Rabbi Tam, when he presents the Yesh Mefarshim, he says, well, if it's that definition, then therefore there should be no bracha, but Rabbi Tam himself offers that middle compromise shita, where even if you assume that the mitzvah is Ner Dolik, but nevertheless you make a bracha. So that part of the Shtikl Torah, I think, is Gishmak. Then he goes too far, because then he says that the ner of Oneg Shabbos would not justify a bracha, but there's another kiyum of ner Shabbos, and that's Perek Lamed, and that's what justifies the bracha. And that he sets up as a Maisad Loka, and that's what justifies the bracha. I mean, that there again, conceptually it's very seductive, but linguistically in the text of the Rambam, I don't see it.
It seems to me that it's a little strange. If you're talking about Kol Shabbos, that's one thing, and that doesn't seem to be a problem. But to bring in the concept of Oneg Shabbos and to make a bracha on it, when we say generally speaking, Mitzvahs Lavnei Lehainos, so therefore, the Oneg itself is not, and especially...
The exception to that rule, by the way, Alan, as you and I know, there are certain mitzvahs that the very mitzvah itself is to get benefit, is to get hanoah. That's exactly what the Torah is telling me to do. And if you don't get hanoah, you're not yotzei the mitzvah.
Yeah,
I don't know if Talmud Torah fits into that, but maybe it does. Just, but I didn't mean Talmud Torah.
Just another observation. Did the Rambam or Rajalti justify the purpose of a Ner Shabbos on for Kavod during the day when Shraga the
B'tir Mai Mahani?
It doesn't do anything. There's absolutely no purpose to it.
This comes back to our whole discussion about when the principle of Shraga Vatira Mai Mahani operates. For example, I'm not a bucky in the sugya, but the Rambam requires Hadlokas Migdash even by day. What happened to Shraga Vatira Mai Mahani? You know, and also, do you remember we had the whole discussion about the Amud Ha'esh, that Amud Ha'esh and Amud Ha'anan overlap. So like there's a certain period of time where you haven't yet gotten to Lila, but yet there's still an Amud Ha'anan or an Amud Ha'esh that's lighting it up. So,
but you wouldn't argue that's Balder Yom Gadol even in the
Mishnah. Right, so then you have to know what the Rambam Shita would be about Plaga Mincha. Maybe the Rambam would say the following, that Plaga Mincha is okay for Oneg Shabbos, but not for Kavod Shabbos. That would be interesting if you find someone...
But why would the Rambam also limit all the mitzvahs of Kavod Shabbos to Friday?
As opposed to Shabbos itself?
No, it's supposed to Thursday and Wednesday. Why can't you be Mechad like Rabbein Shammai? Why can't you be Mechad Shabbos? If I, let's say I know I'm going to be away on Friday, and I set my table on Thursday, I wasn't kind of mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos?
I think yes. I think the Rambam
would say I can light my candle on any day.
I think yes. You know, from the perspective of Kavod Shabbos, if you're pressed for time, again, the embellished mitzvah of Amuvchar, you know, the best way, ideal way is as close to Shabbos as possible. You know, the Shabbos of Malka is coming, so to speak, and now go out and greet the Shabbos. You know, But if you're, if
I
you're,
I can do the opposite. The fact that I show that
but I'm asking, I want to
Shabbos, I want to do it 4 days early. That's on Chabad Shabbos.
Right. But I would ask you a different question, Yechiel. I'm not sure what you meant when you said you're going away. Is anybody in the house?
What's the number?
So that's an interesting question. I was always fascinated by this.
Have you putter?
My wife, for example, is very, very makpid. You know, even when we go away for Shabbos to organize the Shabbos, is that brought down? I wonder if that's brought down.
Your hand was going.
Not set the table. I don't know if she sets the table, but to make sure the whole house is
Shabbos day.
Shabbos. That's an interesting question. Is there covered Shabbos when there's no one in the house, just the house itself?
Sure. That's a good question.
My wife does also.
Yeah, that's
a, and I'm wondering if there is such a sif in Shulchan Aruch, or if not in Shulchan Aruch, in one of the, you know, one of the later.
But the shragi is not a problem because the base of Megdish, the light of outside did not affect it. It didn't have the inside of the base of Megdish. That's why we talk about the windows were such that, that the light went out to the world. It didn't, the world's right. Light didn't come in.
So Rabosa, what I'd like to study with you now, and I keep coming back to this kuntis, I call it, which is called the Otzer Hayunim Birchas Hamadlik V'Aroah. Again, I have one copy going once, going twice, if anyone needs it.
You're talking about
We're finished with Shabbos now. Again, I'd love to learn Shabbos with you, but right now we're not learning Shabbos. Okay. So what I'd like you to turn to is a page that's called Nun Gimel. And it's Os Dalet. You know, this whole presentation, this whole kunshus, as I call it, is divided up into I think 10 sections, or 11 sections. So we're about one quarter of the way through. And there's still many paragraphs that we have to fill in. So I'm fascinated by this Birchas HaRoah, right? We saw in the Gemara that the Gemara establishes that HaRoah Ner Chanukah Mevarech. Now, at the beginning of this presentation, he like barrages you with like five different sfeikos, you know, five different hakiros, as to how to understand this mitzvah or this bracha that the roah makes when he sees the ner. So you'll see a paragraph that says Yesh Lavarer, and then underneath that a paragraph Od, and a third paragraph the Od. And in these three paragraphs, he just, wow, you know, like he flashes lights at you from all sides. In the first paragraph of Yesh Lavarer, he says, Ha'im, okay, let me write it, let me say it in my own language, then we'll see it inside. He says, is this an absolute chiyuv to see the Ner Chanukah? Or are we saying that if he happens to see the Ner Chanukah, he has to make a bracha on that riyah, but he also has to seek out the opportunity to see the Ner Chanukah? So, for example, at the end of the first line, he says, Yesh Gam Chiyuv Liros. And it means that just like there's a chiv lahadlik, there's also a chiv liros. Now the nafkamina is going to be, if let's say you're not a madlik, again, if you're blind, then if you're blind, but I'm saying if you're not a madlik and you don't have the opportunities to be madlik in Ner Chanukah, at least you're obligated to at least seek out and find a Ner Chanukah to make a bracha on the re'iyah.
Ella lirotam.
Well, again, Liro Tam there means that we're not allowed to benefit from the Ner Chanukah. But when he says Liro Tam, is he saying that you're obligated Liro Tam? Meaning if you don't have a house to light in, run through the streets and find the Ner Chanukah so you can make a brach on Re'iyah? Is that what goes on? Okay, that's going to be one of the svaras that's going to come up here over and over again. But again, so far, he's asking, What does it mean? Haroa ner Chanukah Mevarech. Does it mean Kevan Shin is daming lo liros? Or does it mean Chayav liros? That he has to go out of his way to find it. Okay. Then he gets to another question.
It is true.
He says, Imachen yesh chiyuv liros, if we assume that he has to look and find the Ner Chanukah in order to see it and make the bro, yesh ladun, Ha'im mitzvahs ri'iyas ha'neros hidara mutal kol echad vi'echad, as you said before, persuanes, that just like there's a chiv lahadlik, there's also a chiv liros ner Chanukah. V'gam misha madlik v'kaimis chiv liros. Now we can say the following: if everyone's obligated to liros a Chanukah, then the madlik is also chayiv liros, meaning he also gains a mitzvah of re'iyah. Kasher madlik v'ros aneros. Oh, or should we say no? That the Rabbanan created this chiv liros for the benefit, it was a takana for the benefit of someone who doesn't have the opportunity of being madlik, that at least let him get some part of the mitzvah and he gets the re'iyah. But if he's a madlik, then he doesn't have the mitzvah of re'iyah. Then he asks another question. Ha'im zu mitzvah nifredes? Is this part of the mitzvah adloko, or it's a separate independent mitzvah of pirsum hanes b'toras re'iyah? Then he wants to suggest that maybe the chlal is no kiyum of seeing the re'iyah for nobody. Why do we make a brach on re'iyah? That has to do with seeing a mitzvah hamiskayemes. And this is going to be the subject of our discussion today. So please underline those words, re'iyas mitzvah hamiskayemes. Right now it makes no sense, but hopefully we'll make sense out of it. Then in the next paragraph he says, what's the din of birchas haro'ah? Is the bracha on the mitzvah of re'iyah? Or is the bracha on the nes itself, meaning the bracha is on the day itself? You remember we discussed the possibility that the day itself requires a bracha. We had a Me'iri Shita that if he doesn't have the possibility of lighting an Ner Chanukah, he still makes the bracha of Sha'as HaNisim on the day itself. And Od Yesh Lodu, now he has another Chakira, when he recites Birchas Shachiyonu on the Re'iyah, is that because of the Re'iyah? And only if he has a re'iyah, then he can make a shechiyonu. Or shall we say no? That just like we had the possibility that Birchas Shas Anisim he can recite even without a re'iyah, then maybe Birchas Shechiyonu could likewise be recited without a re'iyah. Basically because of the Tzumo Shel Yom, of the day itself. Now I'm looking at my clock, and I'm wondering if we could at least fit in the Ramban. So if that be the case, I'm going to skip a little bit, but I hope we'll come back to fill in the blanks. And we're going to look fast forward on the left column to a paragraph that says it will be Divrei HaRamban. Do you have such a paragraph?
Yes.
Okay. Now this Ramban is not in the Chidushim on Masechta Shabbos, but it's in a work that he authored, the Ramban authored a work called Torah Sa'odom. We have a copy of it here in the library. And we're going to see from this Ramban a new insight into the nature of the Brach on Re'iyah. Here's the Ramban's language on the third line of this paragraph. Hare, Brach HaShnia Shel Megillah V'shalner Chanukah Birchas HaNes. Some have another girsa in the Ramban, Birchas HaShevach. So we have the bracha of Sha'as HaNisim, which we recite on as the second bracha of Megillah, second bracha in Ner Chanukah, and the Ramban classifies this as a Birchas HaNes. U'mevarech Osan V'shem U'malchus. And then he asks himself the following question. Please clarify for us. What do you mean by Birchas HaNes? Well, that phrase doesn't seem to have any meaning to it. He says, Ein bein haroa ner Chanukah leroa makom shenasu nisim lavosena. Are you aware of this, Rabosai? That in Shulchan Aruch it says that if you pass a place where a nes took place, you make a bracha, simply because at that place you're reminded of the miracle, and on that miracle you have to thank God. The Ramban equates the bracha of Sha'as HaNisim in the case of Re'iyah with seeing a makom shenasa nes. El shezu kvua, the only difference is zu kvua biyomim and zu tluya b'makom. In the case of a makom shenasabones, it depends on passing the makom. If you see that makom, you make the bracha. In the case of Purim or Chanukah, it's kavua biyome. But what it means is that his re'iyah links him, so to speak, to a makom, or at least links him to the nes. And whenever you have this linkage to the nes, you have to thank Hashem. And that, the girsa that we had here of Hashemach, Birchas Hashemach, makes sense over here. It's a praise to God for the nes. He summarizes the Ramban by saying the following: Mevur b'dvarav shebirchas haroa hu kedin bracha al reiyas makom shenas lo nes. So if you go back to the paragraph that I told you, the second paragraph, I think, the first ode, right? It says, Makom Shenas Lo Nes. You remember that paragraph? Mm-hmm. And I was wondering what that means. What does it mean, Makom Nes? The answer is that with this Re'iyah, you link yourself up to a Makom Nes. And therefore, you need a Brach of Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that Nes. Then, in the case of Shechiyanu, when the Roah Ner Chanukah makes the Shechiyanu, that bracha would not be on the mitzvah, because again, the Ramban has already established that the bracha of Shasan Nisim for the Roah is not a birkas mitzvah at all, it's a birkas shevach for the Nes. So now, Shechiyanu can't be, we never found that Shechiyanu would be an addition to a shevach. It has to be that Shechiyanu fits under one category or the other. It would have to be on the mitzvah, but again, he's not doing the mitzvah because he's a roah. He doesn't have the opportunity to do the mitzvah. But rather, it would have to be that Shechiyanu, by definition, is on the yom itself. It's on the day. However, the Ramban in Psachim seems to contradict himself. And that's at the bottom paragraph here. The Ramban in Psachim, on the sugya of Al and Lid, claims that you have to make a bracha lahadlik, even though the Gemara establishes that if it's a bracha shefshel akayma yidei shliach, you make the bracha with an al, and Chanukah seems to be a classical case of a mitzvah that could be fulfilled with the shliach. Now we move over to nun dalet amud aleph. So the Ramban says the following: why do we make a bracha on Chanukah with a lamid? He gives one answer, that you have to pay the shliach. Not the shliach, I shouldn't say, but pay for the neros, and then he could. So it's not shlichus. But look at the second answer, which starts in the second line. He says, "V'od kevon shaharoa nami mevarech u'mitzvah liros mishum persume nisa kavu belamin." He's saying that enochinami, even if hadlaka could be fulfilled through a shliach, but re'iyah cannot be fulfilled with a shliach. It's a mitzvah shebegufo, and that mitzvah is a mitzvah persume nes. So you have to run around looking for an Ner Chanukah because you didn't have any opportunity to do the Madlik, and therefore the Adlaka was established with the Lamed because there's no Shlichus. It means the Ramban here integrates the Hadlaka with the Re'iyah as one continuous mitzvah, the two parts of a whole.
Would you say you make the Bracha Lahadlik on Re'iyah?
No.
So then why would you care about the Nusach HaBracha for Re'iyah?
No, he's saying the following, that the reason why the Nusach HaBracha for Lahadlik is with a lamed is because re'iyah cannot be fulfilled through a shliach.
But hadlaka can't be fulfilled through shliach.
But it doesn't matter, since the re'iyah is part of the hadlaka. In other words, they're two parts of one whole, and one part of that mitzvah doesn't lend itself to shliach. So the nusach habrach was established as a lamed.
I can make the argument the flip side. Since I can be use a shliach to lahalik, so the bracha is with a lamed. But re'iyah can't be a shliach. So what? The halakha can be. I mean, it's a flip side of the same thing.
In other words, what he's saying is the following: that if you want to change the nusach habracha from a lamed to an al, the mitzvah has to lend itself to shlichus. Oh. He's saying that the mitzvah means the whole picture or nothing but the whole picture. And if there are two parts of this mitzvah, and one part of the mitzvah doesn't lend itself to shlichus, then it would be misleading to say that I could fulfill lahadlik, because lahadlik without re'iyah is an incomplete mitzvah. But what's clear here is the Ramban is completely rejecting what he himself said in his Torah Adam. In the Torah Adam, he said that the mitzvah of re'iyah is the bracha on the re'iyah is a shevach, and it's like you pass the makom shenasim on this.
Right.
And here he's saying, no, that this is an integral part of the mitzvah adlaka, and the bracha on the re'iyah is because you're obligated in re'iyah. Both a madlik and a roah are equally obligated in re'iyah, just that the roah doesn't have the opportunity to be madlik, but he certainly has the opportunity to fill his mitzvah of what? Of re'iyah. And now, in the paragraph that starts ubiaru, he quotes the Shevet HaLevi. And the honest truth is, until I saw this paragraph, I thought the Shevet HaLevi was a posek, and that's it. He's a posek. But here you see that he's not a posek. He's a lamed. And he came mamish to reconcile the two Rambans. And he says the following: Shemitzas hadloka, koleles gam mitzvah liros, ulahodos bebracha, v'kol mi shemadlik, mekaymes hamitzvah, al yidei shemadlik v'roeh, u'mevarech shaseh nisim. Val kol zeh, who mevarech es birchas hamitzvos lahadlik ner Chanukah, who bedin birchas haroeh, omar shemisha einenu madlik biatzmo el madlikin ol bebeso sarech. What's the next word? Lechol apachos liros esaneros kevin shachaserelo hareiya shechelik me'a mitzvah el sheim evarchan al zebruchas ha mitzvos al liros ner chanukah kevin shezerak chelik me'a mitzvah ve'al kein lo tiknu bracha al a mitzvah shel reiya. So again, if you're talking about a person who doesn't have the reiya together with adlaka, so then we cannot establish a bracha as a birchas mitzvah on that re'iyah because it's completely cut off from the ikar mitzvah. Again, this is all based on the Ramban's integration of two parts of one whole, namely that the re'iyah is part of the mitzvah of adlokah. But in the case of a ro'eh, he doesn't have that opportunity of integrating his re'iyah into the mitzvah of ner chanukah because he doesn't have the opportunity of adlokah. So what do we have for him? So what we have for him is a different kind of a bracha. Now the bracha takes on a different personality, and it's a bracha on the Ness itself, meaning on seeing a Makom Sheyesh Bo Ness. The Alpi Zeh, Kosev Ramban, Shem Yikem and Shere'iyah, He Chelik Me'a Mitzvah, V'yefshal Asosi Dei Shliach, therefore the Brach is with a Lamed. But in the case where he's only being Mekayim Re'iyah, that's a different Brach entirely, and that's a Brach on the Ness and a Makom Shehavi Bo Ness. Again, I'm sorry, I was rushed a little bit because of Mincha. Take this opportunity to wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you.